Welcome to the Three Count Podcast, where you've got no chance in hell. And hopefully, you'll forgive us for not being able to provide the SummerSlam preview last week. We had a few technical difficulties. We're hoping not to hear "You're fired" anytime soon.
Fingers crossed.
In any case, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dylan Chambers. Once again, flanked by the Prince of Broken Hill, Benny Hobden. How are you, Benny?
G'day, Dill, mate. I'm good. Big SummerSlam. As we said, we missed out on the preview, but great SummerSlam show.
Great SummerSlam. Big episode. Lots of news to get to. We're going to give you our take on every SummerSlam match. Plus, we've got another great draft for you today. We're going to draft NBA players we want to see in wrestling. Should be fun. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Follow us on the socials at 3CountPod on Twitter and Facebook, at 3CountPodcast on Instagram. And you can check out our draft from last week on the Lost episode, where we drafted our top Vince McMahon moments, which was another fun draft.
Very interesting.
Benny, speaking of Vince McMahon, you know, we did touch on it in the Lost episode, but it's still got to be top of the news. Vince retires.
Yeah, gone. I sent out a little tweet just at the good old age of 77 or whatever he is. I didn't know he used Twitter, but just gone. Disappeared, yeah. I reckon.
Yeah, interesting time. So, I mean, Stephanie and Nick Khan are now co-CEOs. And probably the biggest one is Triple H is the head of talent relations and the new head of creative. And yeah, you can kind of already see his fingerprints on SummerSlam and Raw.
Yeah, look, I think it's taken. He's taken over a little bit, but... great fan of the show. Vince Russo reckons that Triple H is only just a face for it, and Vince is still doing
a puppet.
Everything. But yeah, just puppeteer. Vince is still running the show, he reckons. But I don't know. As you said, you can definitely see some differences that's going on at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, they're just subtle at the moment, but I think we'll start to see a little bit more now. At SummerSlam, we had some huge returns, which we'll talk about a little bit later. We had Bayley coming back after more than a year on the shelf, I believe.
Yeah.
Dakota Kai, who we thought was Gonski's from WWE, yeah. And Io Shirai, who's now Io Sky.
Yeah.
And we had the return of Edge as well.
Yeah, which we knew was coming. It had to be him. All those vignettes and everything else. And then right before the show started, it was like, I'll be here tonight. And you could just tell it was Edge straight away.
Yeah, yeah, it was a given. I mean, they kept us guessing for, you know, a couple of weeks there at least.
Yeah, it was something to talk about, I guess.
Yeah. Now, some injury news out of SummerSlam. Becky, big time Bex, has a separated shoulder, could be out for several months.
Yeah, did you see there's a still shot? Like, you can see it actually happened in the match. It's just like a screenshot. You can just see the shoulder. It doesn't look good at all.
I haven't seen it, but yeah, between its separated shoulder and some boots that weren't laced up properly, she was doing it tough at SummerSlam. Well, we have Logan Paul. He's announced he's signed a multi-year, multi-event deal.
Yeah, he says what he came out and said. He doesn't know when or where he's going to be doing it yet, but he's ready to go. And he said he thinks he's found his calling. But he is copying a lot of flack from his YouTube followers as well, though. They're all coming out saying, what, you couldn't win real fighting, so now you're going to go to the fake stuff and all that. They're dropping the F-bomb everywhere. It's they're giving him quite a bit of stick. But on the flip side, WWE would have got all of those viewerships because everybody would have watched it. So, I mean...
Absolutely. You
know, how many followers is he's got? 200 million or something silly. So they would have all had those eyes on him.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of multi-year contracts, Pat McAfee, he signed a multi-year contract extension. So you're going to get a lot more of Pat McAfee over the next few years.
Perfect. That's what we want.
Exactly.
Pat's great.
Congratulations to Cody. Cody Rhodes won the ESPY for WWE Moment of the Year for his return at WrestleMania.
Is anybody else really going to win that?
Never in doubt, really. now, here's one for you. Your mate, Bray Wyatt, changed his Twitter bio to a Vince McMahon quote.
Wow.
Saying, begin again, kid. It's what you do.
That's interesting.
Take from that what you will.
Well, you can't take anything from Bray's tweets. Like, we've been saying this for years now. You just can't take anything from him.
I feel like we've been, you know, looking at his Instagram profile and his Twitter handles and profiles for the past couple of months, hoping we'll get, you know, he something. Drops hints and then nothing happens.
Yeah, that's always the way. He's just keeping us guessing. So that's, it is what it is, I guess.
Hey, he's keeping his name in our mouths. So well done to Bray Wyatt for that. We had Maxine Dupri revealed on SmackDown a few weeks ago, former NXT talent Sophia Cromwell. Now, there were reports that LA Knight, aka Max Dupri, aka whatever you want to call him, that he'd be removed from the storyline, but obviously not the case.
He's back again.
He's back. So be interesting. Interesting to see what we'll get out of Maximum Male Models. So I'm looking forward to it. Huge fan.
You are. I can see it in your eyes.
WrestleMania 40 is going to be going down in Philadelphia, where it's always sunny. So that's good for Philly in 2024. Now we've got new NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, Kayden Carter and Katana Chance, so the new champs.
That was hard to say, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, a lot of K's and C's in there. This is an interesting one that came across my feed. Bobby Lashley has been offered a fight with Mike Tyson.
What? That's an interesting combination.
He's come out and said that, you know, he doesn't think his fighting career is done. I mean, he was in UFC and had some MMA fights.
Yeah.
So he's open to it, and he said things are in the formative stages of talks, but Bobby Lashley against Mike Tyson.
I don't know. Like, I'd love to watch it, but I mean, I don't know about that.
Yeah, interesting. Speaking of Lashley, he'll put his US title on the line against Ciampa now.
Yeah. That was a great episode of Raw. A couple of great three-way matches, and then, you know, AJ versus Ciampa. It was a great match.
Yeah, it was a great match. And, you know, we talked about Triple H's fingerprints. He does love exactly. A bit of Ciampa, so we could be seeing a lot more of Ciampa. Now, we did have Riddle and Rollins taken off the match card for SummerSlam due to a Riddle injury. Reports being that WWE wanted to move the match to Clash at the Castle. I guess they're trying to build that card up a little bit more. We still did get to see them, which we'll touch on a little bit later, but
yeah,
there's that. Moving on, Benny, to AEW. Now, we got new tag team champs in Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. And we got a new FTW champion in Hook.
Yeah.
And right after that, we had Powerhouse Hobbs turning on Ricky Stark. So, and just today, Taz came out on Dynamite and said, Team Taz is Dunskies.
Dunskies. There's another little heel turn on AEW. Well, not a heel turn, I guess face turn for the Bucks, really, today.
Yes, yes, so, absolutely. So we had
come out and save them.
We had the Undisputed Elite return to Dynamite, and Colin Red Dragon turned on the Bucks. Hangman comes out, makes the save. So, you know, this is all gearing up to what I was going to talk about next, which is the new Trios Tag Team Championships, where there's going to be a tournament set with the champion crowned it all out. Bucks and Hangman against, you know, Red Dragon, Adam Cole. Looks like that's the way it could go down.
Would have to be. It's a long-term storytelling, I guess. That's what they're looking for. But there's plenty of other trios in there that could have a dig. So
it's great. I love the trios. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Jericho suffered a broken nose in that barbed wire everywhere match a few weeks ago. Beat Utah today. So now he will definitely challenge Mox for the AEW interim world title next week at Quake by the Lake.
Take that interim out of your mouth.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mox will have a go at me. Bryan Danielson returned last week on Dynamite in a loss to Daniel Garcia.
That was weird. Like, Garcia looked great, but it just didn't, I don't know what's going on there.
And now he's out again, apparently. So hopefully we see a lot more of Bryan Danielson soon, and that he can get whatever's going on with him right. Speaking of people getting right, reports that Kenny Omega is close to a return, according to Dave Meltzer.
Who's he going to go? Who's he going to go up against?
Well, that could throw a spanner in the whole trio's works.
He comes back and says, I want to take over. I want to be with the Bucks. But then where does Hangman go? Do those two fight each other?
I mean, the last time we saw him was losing the world title. So he could slot himself right back into that world title picture.
Well, there's quite a bit. We've still got Punk to come back as well. So, I mean, there's quite a few up there.
It's an embarrassment of riches for AEW.
It really is.
Now, they have filed a trademark for All Elite Women. Take from that what you will. Could we see a women's only show? Maybe we get a reality show like Total Divas. I don't know. They did Roads to the Top, so.
Not a bad thought.
There's options out there. It could be interesting. And just kind of released in the last 2 days, we've got the first glimpses of AEW's video game Fight Forever, and looks like it's going to be pretty fun. It's done by THQ, who used to do all the old WCW versus NWO games, which were the bomb.
All the best games were THQ. So fingers crossed it's good, because the last couple of wrestling games have been not great.
No. The 2K ones, you know, bless their heart, 2K. They do a great NBA version. I just haven't been sold on the WWE versions.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Moving on to other wrestling, mostly Ring of Honor here. Claudio Castagnoli wins his first ever major singles title at Death Before Dishonor a few weeks ago. FTR and the Briscoes, they got 5 stars from Meltzer.
Yeah.
For their match at Death Before Dishonor. Well deserved.
Yeah.
One of the best matches you'll see. Well worth the price of the pay-per-view. Go and watch it.
Dylan even gave it a 4 count.
I did. I gave it a 4 count. It was absolutely amazing. People who weren't as happy after Death Before Dishonor are Jonathan Gresham, who's reportedly requested a release from Ring of Honor, and Tully Blanchard looks to be gone as well.
Yeah, Gresham apparently a bit of backstage heat with Tony Khan, and they had a few words and stuff after that, not happy with the direction of where he was going. So be interesting to see what they do there.
Yeah. Tony Khan has come out and said that he's planning a weekly Ring of Honor show in the future. So maybe Gresham's missing out in you know, jumping ship now, but that'll be good for Ring of Honor if they can get that up and running.
Yeah. Who's it going to be? Who are they going to do it through though? Do they have like a TV deal yet?
I think that's the thing. The plan is to have a weekly show, but they need to get TV deals.
I think that'll be hard to get across the line though as well. There's so much hustle going on, and then what nights are going to be on and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if Tony wants it, he'll try and get it. He's got plenty of money.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe go a bit of like Sunday Night Heat kind of action, and then you can run it before pay-per-views maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just a thought. Take notes, Tony. We had Ric Flair's last match. Flair and Andrade, they beat Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. I don't know how much you've seen of this, Benny.
I definitely didn't watch it in full. I've only seen bits and pieces.
I've only seen bits and pieces too, and
didn't look good.
It's just, it makes you a little bit sad. Flair looks as old as he is.
Yeah, he looked really good. Even trying to do his strut and stuff like that, it just didn't look good at all.
And there's all the old stories too of when Flair was unhappy with how his body looked. He wore a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then he was wearing a t-shirt for this match. So, you know, I don't know. I didn't love it.
Color as well, though. He had to get
color. I mean, the blonde hair has to be covered in blood. But yes, he ended up getting the win in his last match, surprisingly.
Which was funny as well, because technically his shoulders were on the mat at the same time while he was putting in the figure four, because he couldn't even sit up properly. So technically he got counted for the three as well. But anyway, doesn't matter. It's Ric Flair's last match. We got to see a couple of legends ringside as well. Bret Hart, Mick Foley.
Undertaker.
Yeah, they were all there. I did see a funny meme as well, though. It was because DDP was sitting one row behind Taker. And it said, like, after 25 years, DDP's still stalking the Undertaker's missus. Like,
That's really brilliant.
Good. That was so good.
That's brilliant stuff. Love it. All right, Benny, let's get to it. SummerSlam time. Let's get into the card now. We open the show with the Raw Women's Championship. Very solid match from these two. You know, as we mentioned earlier, big time Beck separated his shoulder. You know, those boots just kept, I couldn't take my eyes off those boots coming off. Yeah, but still put in a great showing. Belair reversed a superplex into an awesome looking Spanish fly, followed with a kiss of death for the win. Great match, but that wasn't the talking point. Because afterwards, Becky went back to the ring, shook Belair's hand, gave her a hug and a few words. Then as Belair celebrated, Bayley's music hits and we get Bayley, we get Dakota Kai, we got Io Sky, as she's now known. They all enter the ring, look like they're going to take Belair. Becky jumps to her aid. We've got a new heel stable and we've got Becky as a face.
Yeah, well, Faith, it would have been interesting if she didn't get injured. I guess she still would have had to have done the face turn there, because like they didn't know the full extent of the injury until afterwards. But I don't know about Becky as a face. Now she's out, so she can come back as a heel again if she wants to anyway.
That's true.
But it was a great match. That Spanish fly was crazy. Like
it was.
And then into the kiss of death. There was plenty of other great moves, like on the outside. And they didn't hold back. So I thought it was a brilliant match. I gave it a 2.5 count.
As did I. 2.5 count me. 2 for the match, half for the returns afterwards. 2.5. Very solid way to start the show. As we mentioned, Becky will be out for several months now. You know, they really hammered that home with Bayley, Sky, and Kai, you know, taking her out on Raw.
That as well, did you hear Dakota Kai's comment during that after they took her out? She turns around, she goes, "It's okay, we know how to play the game."
That was
pretty cool.
There you go, a little
throw in there.
Yeah, very nice. Are you excited? It looks like it's going to be Bayley Belair. Pumped for that.
We haven't seen Bayley for a long time. Bayley's great as a heel. Everybody hates her. So I guess Belair will just continue that little face run that she's got going on, being all nice, everyone loving her. And Bayley will just do the worst things possible to try and get the win. But she's got two people there to back her up. So that should be fun.
That's right. And they've roped in Alexa Bliss and Asuka into the feud as well. So we'll see plenty of these women, which is a good thing. We then moved on to The Miz and Logan Paul. We saw a great effort from Paul at Mania, but having a singles match is another animal, and he pulled it off.
Wow.
Pulled it off. I mean, you could see Miz helping him through. I mean, Miz is a ring general, but he made Paul look great. From moonsaults to blockbusters, really showcased his athleticism, and that moment, moment of the night. You know, the frog splash on a Miz on the announcer's table from the top rope. At one point, Ciampa was ejected. AJ Styles came out to eject him himself. Maurice tried to get involved, almost accidentally hit by the Miz, which is when Paul hit the skull-crushing finale for the win.
Through the ropes. Yeah, no, I was gobsmacked. Like, when I was watching it, I was like, is he actually doing this? Like, he's athletic. He's very athletic. So, I mean, that definitely got across. And like you said, the Miz definitely helped him being the ring general. But it was a brilliant match, I thought. I gave it a 2.5 count.
Yeah, I gave it a 2. I didn't want to count it on a grade of thinking like, okay, he hasn't done much. I'm going to grade it higher because he hasn't done much.
Yeah.
Logan Paul looked exceptional. He's got all the tools.
Yeah.
You know, he's athletic. He's tall. He's got the charisma. You know, I really hope he gives it a good go.
Yeah, so do I. I think he's just going to get a lot of hate. But if WWE wants to make him a face, they've just got to steer into the skid, really, and just go all out heel and just.
I felt it a little bit at the end. I felt the kind of babyface vibes.
I just couldn't. He's just got a smug head. you just want to kick him in the head.
Head, you want to punch. Yeah. Geez, the Miz is the GOAT for putting people over.
Yeah, he just knows what to do, man. He's been there for so long now as well.
Yeah. So I mean, what do you see for the Miz coming up?
Well, he obviously had that triple threat on Raw for the US title eliminator. He'll probably just fit into that mid-card for a bit until somebody else needs to get put over. They'll give him a little push. He'll just continue to do Miz TV and he'll just be a company man, I think.
Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the Miz takes a little bit of a backseat to Ciampa. Ciampa starts to work his way up. And then we have a jealous Miz turn on him.
That's just the regular Miz thing, isn't it?
It's the MO.
They're just a weird combination, though. Like, it just doesn't really work for me.
Yeah, it is a very odd combination. But as we mentioned, you know, he's Triple H's boy. I think we're going to see a lot more of him.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about that.
No. Moving on to the US Championship match, what was essentially a squash match, apart from Theory attacking Lashley with the briefcase at the beginning. Lashley locked in the Hurt Lock to get the submission win. I gave it a 1 count, which is probably generous.
Exactly what it was. My popcorn match. There's the popcorn match, you know. I gave it a 1, and that was very generous. It was just a squash. It was, I don't know. It just was just not even needed to be there, really.
I'm looking forward to see what Lashley and Ciampa do for the US title next week.
Ciampa's great, as we just talked about, but I just feel Lashley's just so dominant.
Yeah.
So obviously Miz is going to have to get involved to help Ciampa and that kind of stuff if there's any chance of a win. I think Lashley will come out in front on that one as well, but it won't be a clean win, so therefore they'll be able to continue that on.
Yeah. Well, bring it on, Lashley. Well, maybe Mike Tyson will take him on for the US title.
Well, we're going to bring Tyson back for WWE.
Why not? We then go to the no disqualification tag team match, the Mysterios and the Judgment Day. Decent match, which led to, you know, what we're all expecting. Edge making his return as Balor was about to hit Ray with the chair. Took out both Priest and Balor with spears, allowing Ray and Dom to hit the 619 and Ray to get the pin. I gave it a 1.5. I gave it a 1 count for the match, half for the Edge return.
Yeah, I gave it a 1.5 as well, just as a whole. I didn't really break it down like you did as well. But it was never meant to be a no disqualification match, was it though? That was like a last minute thing.
I think it was booked as a no DQ match for a while.
Yeah, I must have missed that part. But like, obviously Rhea got him. That was just so that Rhea could get involved more.
Yeah.
And do whatever, and then Edge can come back and.
Rhea looks like she could legit take out Dominic.
Oh, 100%.
And Ray easily, obviously.
Probably Edge as well, to be fair.
Yeah. who do you see, Benny? So it's obviously Edge is back. He wants to take out the Judgment Day. Is it Priest or Balor that gets the push against Edge?
It has to be. Well, it has to be Balor. But I feel like Priest is doing more stuff with the Judgment Day.
Yeah, so he seems like the quasi-leader.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just, again, this whole Judgment Day thing has baffled me from the get-go. It was going to be so good, and then it's just fizzled, and now they're trying to reignite it. And
yeah.
So, but obviously, you know, Edge versus Balor would be just in a straight-up match. That'd be a great match.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all hoping for.
Which means we probably won't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Vince is gone. We might.
Vince is gone. We might. We then had Pat McAfee, Happy Corbin. Bit of a clunky match, but we got to see McAfee showing off his athleticism. Ended up kicking Corbin in the groin, which is something we all wanted to see. Hitting the code red for the 3 count. I actually gave it a 2 count.
Wow.
Now, it was clunky as hell. Definitely not the prettiest match ever, but it was fun.
It was fun. McAfee looked... He showed off that athleticism that he's got a little bit, but as you said, clunky's probably the best word for it. I wrote sloppy, but clunky's probably a bit better. But it told a story. You know, it did what it was meant to do. We had all the back history of them and whatever else, and then, you know, McAfee uses a low blow essentially to win the match. So, you know, Corbin's meant to be the bad guy. Corbin's meant to be the heel who wins that kind of way, and McAfee pulls it out. I gave it a 1.5 count myself.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you see, I mean, I've been struggling to answer this, what's next for Happy Corbin? I know there's a plethora of baby faces you could go up against.
Yeah.
What do you do with him?
This is the thing, like, he always fights against the littler guys. You know what I mean? Because all the bigger guys are either in the world title picture or they're heels. So
yeah,
you don't want a heel versus heel. You can't turn him baby. Like... He's sort of stuck in that mid card.
Yeah, and what you can't do? He can't run back matches. Madcap Moss. He can't have him go for the IC belt because Gunter's a heel himself. It's a tough one.
He'll probably fight Ricochet a couple of times or something. Or,
yeah.
I don't know. Send him back to NXT or something and just mix it up down there.
That could be very interesting,
like,
actually.
Just, you know, he like... McAfee could say something on commentary or something about how he beat him. But so then Corbin just goes, well, I'm going to go back. I'm going to try again, build my way back up or something like that from NXT.
Yeah, why not?
Something different.
That's a good shout. I like it. All right, moving on. The Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, the Usos against the Street Profits with special guest referee JEFFJARRERT. Solid bout. Usos retaining their titles after hitting Dawkins with tandem super kicks and the 1D for the win. I gave this one a 2 count. Mm-hmm. It was above average, but I mean, their Money in the Bank match was an absolute classic. Nowhere near as good as that, and so that hurt it a lot.
Yeah, exactly what I said. I said it was an okay match, but it was let down because of their classic at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't compete with that, you know what I mean? And I felt like... I think it was one of the 3 longest matches on the card, but it just felt like it went heaps quick for me.
Yeah.
Because the one at Money in the Bank went for longer and it was just so jam-packed. I think Double J detracted a little bit from the match, just the way he was, his weird counts and stuff like that, and just the way he was getting involved. And it just sort of detracted a little bit from them. And that's what we want to see. We want to see profits versus, you know, the Usos getting it on.
Yeah. I mean, what do you take from, like, Montez got seriously upset at Double J for a two count, which he got, and it was just kind of out of character. I didn't really understand it.
Yeah. It was just weird. And I know they wanted to do it because it was in Memphis and Double J and all that kind of stuff, but you could have got anybody better than Double J. Well, we didn't even need a special guest referee.
No, you probably didn't.
And there was no guitar.
No guitar. I was very disappointed. As soon as he came out not holding one, I was like, oh, we're not going to get it.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing.
What do you see next for these guys, Benny?
Well, we've seen it on Raw. You know, we had the Usos versus the Mysterios for the titles, which obviously got broken down because of Judgment Day. And then we had a little, not a split, you know, they talk about this whole split between the Profits and everything else, but Montez, they were going to do scissors, paper, rock to see who was going to go up against Seth, and Tez just took his chance and took the referee and ran in there. But that was a great match on Raw as well. Give me some more of that Montez versus Seth Rollins stuff. That was great.
Absolutely. Here's what I reckon. I reckon third time's a charm at Clash at the Castle. And it's either one of two things, right? Either break them up or they win the titles.
Wow. Just definitive. Nothing else.
Break them up or win the titles. That's it.
They can't lose the titles and just disappear and come back and try again?
No. I'm done with it.
All right. Dylan's done, folks. WWE.
I'm done with it. Either Profits get the straps or they break up.
There we go. You've heard of your first three count there we cast go. Exclusive.
We then had Riddle jump the barricade, come out and basically call Seth freaking Rollins out. The crowd needed some Riddle and Rollins, you know. So they had a bit of a brawl, and then Riddle got hit by a stomp.
All over. Knocked him out. It was all done.
All over Red Rover.
It was quick. It was, it was telling the story to go to what's it called? Clash of the Castle. That's hard to say. As you said, we needed a little bit of it.
I did like the crowd doing Seth Rollins' music after he'd just beaten down Riddle and was walking around the ring.
Yeah, they love him. Like, he's on that real cusp of heel baby.
He's a tweener for sure. He's one of those, like, he's a bad guy, but he's too cool to really be a bad guy.
Stone Cold, NWO.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Classic. We then had the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey. Benny's shaking his head already. The two went back and forth. Rousey did look a bit stronger, but ended. Rousey locked in the armbar. Morgan turned it into a pin and got the three count as she was tapping out. Well, give us your thoughts, Benny.
Well, one, they lost time. They were meant to go longer, but they lost time due to the Miz Logan match going longer, apparently. I don't think either of them looked good.
No, it was...
It didn't look good at all. And I think you could see on their faces, obviously being rushed or whatever else. And then we had the Ronda heel turn because she wasn't happy. She attacked Liv. She attacked the ref. She's now been suspended. I gave it a one count. I thought that was being generous.
Yeah, I gave it 1.5. I gave it I get a one count for the match, half for the Ronda heel turn.
Yeah, okay. I didn't mind the finish, essentially, like the whole shoulders on the mat, the tap thing, like that tells something. Like they can run with that, but just because it was so short and it just didn't feel right for me.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously didn't want to have Ronda just lose clean.
No. Which is, on our preview show, we did both say that, so.
Yeah, but then again, you know, it's also a shot at Liv Morgan, like, okay, we're not going to give you a clean championship win, even though you're a babyface.
Didn't look at it that way, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see, but heel Ronda could be really fun.
Yeah, well, she's just, she was a heel in UFC, essentially. Yeah. So if she just brings that persona, the baddest woman on the planet persona, like that.
Maybe, let's give her a mouthpiece, like, I mean, I guess there's only really Heyman around. Maybe let's give her someone to do the talking. Like, she's not great on the mic. I think we all know that. But if she's just a beast that takes out anyone that gets in front of her and has someone talking for her, I think that could be fun. Though I do think Charlotte's return is in Liv Morgan's future.
we have been saying this for a while now, and she has to be coming back soon. So look out, Liv.
Speaking of Charlotte, what do you make of all the vignettes they showed on SummerSlam? It was like a big Kevin Owens vignette. There was a big Charlotte vignette.
Just building, I guess. Like, just letting them know, like, they're not there. So let's, like...
Remember, we've got these guys.
Yeah. Don't forget about us.
Yeah, very interesting. It was kind of a little bit of a throwback, I thought. But yeah, I mean, they could have not had some of the vignettes and had Liv and Ronda go longer.
Go for longer, exactly, yeah.
In any case, we move on to the big one, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship last man standing match. That's a mouthful. Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. This was brutal.
Where do we start?
I started writing this out. I was like, where do you start? I mean, both men beat the ever-loving shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Lesnar used a tractor on the ring to lift it up, threw Roman Reigns out. You know, Reigns smashed Lesnar over and over again with title belts before they buried him and the Usos, under the debris from the announce table and a couple of chairs and to get the win that way.
For me, I just thought Brock would still be able to get up from that. Like, I was like, not like this. Come on. Like, if Brock got up from that as well, I would have been like, oh my God, this is like, it would have got a bigger count for me. But Heyman through the table.
Yeah.
The F5. What about at the beginning when Brock was standing on the tractor and he like introduced himself and he threw the microphone to Roman? Did you see that? And he just catches it without even taking his eyes off him. Like, that was godlike. That was
godlike. He's on a different level, that's for sure.
That's probably the best match they've had in all their seven matches, I reckon.
I would say it's probably the best last man standing match I've ever seen.
Yeah, okay.
I gave it a 3 count. Match of the show, easy.
Wow. Well, I gave it 2 or 3 quarters. I still can't give out that elusive 3.
You give me a wow and you gave it 2 or 3 quarters.
No, I just didn't see you go. I meant wow, as in I couldn't see you going through it for this. But it was a brilliant match. Great way to finish the show.
Yeah.
Just like the visual of the ring, like up in the air and like.
Yeah. And you see the footage they showed afterwards of Brock after he
putting the cowboy hat on and getting up there and
crawled his way out of the debris. Yeah. Very cool. We now see Reigns. He looks ahead to Drew McIntyre at Clash at the Castle. I think we'll probably see Brock take another break, right?
Yeah, 100%. Brock's gone for a while now. I think that was sort of like his little, you know, tip of the cap. I'll see you again when they need me.
Yeah.
So.
When the money's right.
Yeah. When they back up that Brinks truck again.
Next Saudi Arabia event.
Yeah, there you go. Him and Goldberg.
Do you think
but you kind of went, oh,
I laugh, but yeah, I laugh because it's probably going to happen. Do you think we'll ever see Reigns Lesnar again?
It's WWE, mate. Never say never.
Never say never.
Like, you'd hope not. But, I mean, if they put on a match like that, then, what? Like, go out on top and just don't do it again.
I just feel like you can't have Lesnar keep losing to the guy.
Yeah. But who's going to beat him?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Drew, if Drew beats him at Clash, then that's just for the hometown situation, and then Reigns will get it straight back. So
yeah,
but if Reigns goes fully part time, then they have to give the title to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if they're gonna give it to anyone, it's gonna be Drew, which is kind of boring in my eyes. But
yeah,
at least it'll be something different, I guess.
Yeah,
we will see.
Well, we've had Drew have the title as well, though. Like, we need somebody completely different.
Yeah, change it up. Come on, Trips.
Yeah, bring back KO show.
Yeah, Champa, new Universal Champion. All right, that is it for our SummerSlam recap. It is time to get into the draft. Now, over SummerSlam weekend in Nashville, we had WWE tryouts. And who would show up but Dwight Howard? He's showed up and cut a pretty funny promo in front of all the attendees. He said, you know, he thinks there's a career in wrestling after, you know, his NBA career is done. You know, plus we've got former Dallas Maverick draft pick Satnam Singh. He's making his presence on AEW. So we thought, why not draft NBA players we would love to see in wrestling? I did have another note here of Trey Young healing it up in the garden on SmackDown to attack Rey Mysterio not too long ago.
That's right.
So with that in mind, we're going to draft NBA players we want to see in wrestling. Benny, sorry, caveat here is it's current NBA players. We're not going with legends. You know, Rodman, Malone, they've all done it.
Yeah.
Well, only those two have done it. But but we're going to go with current players. Benny, you have the first pick. Who you got?
I don't know. I wrote these down and then I changed all my picks and then I went again. And so I've just sort of had some fun with this. I'm probably going to get ripped across the coals by our fellow supporters out there. But
I don't think there's a clear 101.
Yeah. Well, I've gone with the Greek freak, Giannis. He's just a beast. He's athletic and he's just got that wingspan. And I can just see Giannis recreating that Karl Malone, you know, when he stood there with his arms out doing that whole weird thing. That was the first picture I got in my head. So I've gone with Greek Freak Giannis.
Greek Freak Giannis. And he, you know, he's been at AEW shows. He's been to WWE shows. He loves his wrestling.
He does love his wrestling, yeah.
And the Bucks love doing their little wrestling routines before the game. So that's a great pick. 101 Giannis. That leaves me in an interesting position now. All right. I'm going to take, this is a little bit out of the box. I'm going to take it. Ja Morant.
Yeah, he's on my list.
Now, you know, probably not the toughest some bitch going around. He's got athleticism. He's got charisma. You know, he's that Shawn Michaels-esque quality. He's not the biggest guy, but, you know, he can go up against the biggest guys. Ja Morant, my number one pick.
All right. Well, he was definitely on my list. I'm going to go down the same sort of path as Ja Morant, and I'm going to go with LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo?
Yeah. He's athletic. He's just going to bring that attitude, that swagger, just that I don't give a, and just have a crack.
That I don't give a F attitude, dropping the N-bomb on Monday Night Raw.
Get the F out kind of thing, you know?
He's been on Raw, so why not? LaMelo Ball. All right. You're going to make me do it. I don't want to, but I'm going to take John Cena. I mean, LeBron James.
I didn't even have him on my list.
Look, the dude's got charisma. He's buff as hell. He's the babyface favorite.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take LeBron.
We all have that image of him at Raw all those years ago, back in 2001 with his flip phone. You know what I mean? Remember that?
Yeah. He's got a few muscles between then and now. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. My next one, I don't know who to take here. This is a funny one for me. So I'm going to take this person and they're going to be up against R-Truth for the 24/7 champion.
Oh, jeez.
And that's JaVale McGee. Because he'd be Shaq in the Fool style in WWE.
JaVale McGee. He definitely wasn't on my list. I'll give you that much.
That's what I said. I've gone out of the box with quite a few of these.
All right. I am going to take another baby face, but, you know, that kind of cool Seth Rollins-y baby face. What time is it? It's Dame time.
He was on my list. I do love Dame.
Not the biggest guy, but he'll definitely take on the biggest. He's got the most heart.
Yeah, true. Oh, you leave me in a tough position here. Pick four. This person you definitely won't have on your list. Again, way out of the box. But this guy is just heel to the core. Everyone will hate him. He will not sell one piece of merchandise. Fellow Duke Blue Devil man, Grayson Allen.
Do you know what? I almost put him on my list thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
But Grayson Allen, he is like the Miz.
Heel to the core. Just hated by everybody.
The Miz, Grayson Allen. All right. There's a lot of cool names out there that could really work. I'm going to go with my fourth pick. Now, the caveat being this guy needs a mouthpiece, all right? Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. How's that laugh go?
He's a fun guy. But Kawhi Leonard, he's just going to be this ice cold killer. Give him a mouthpiece.
Would he do the mandible claw as his finisher?
Possibly, yeah. There great call.
Yeah, so you've gone with all these athletic guys that'll really go. I've just gone with the character more than the ring the ring awareness. But
yeah, for every Hulk Hogan, there needs to be a Doink the Clown.
Well, see, now my last one.
Last pick. Finish it off strong, Benny.
See, I've got so many of the Aussie boys written down just because I wanted to give out some Aussie love on here. But
well, Deli is a worker for sure. He is like,
yeah, I've got Deli on here.
Deli is Brooklyn Brawler.
I like that. I'm gonna go for a scrapper, just a little scrapper that nobody loves. I don't even know if he's currently got an NBA contract, but he was in the league last year. So Pat Beverly.
Pat Bev.
Yeah. He'll just get in there and scrap.
Good call. And we know he's going to talk a lot of trash.
Oh, yeah. His backstage interviews would be great.
That is for sure. All right. There's still a lot of greats out there. I did think about taking Dwight as well, but I'm going to leave him for now. I've got two left. It's really a coin flip between them. One's got more personality than the other, but the other's probably more of a specimen. Personality versus specimen. I'm going to go with specimen because we can work on that personality.
Ooh, can you though?
Zion Williamson, he'll work on it. He is an absolute specimen. He's got the Z going, you know, he can sell merch.
I like that.
So Zion gets it over Blake Griffin, which was my personality pick.
Okay.
All right, Benny. Benny has Giannis, Antetokounmpo, LaMelo Ball, JaVale McGee, Grayson Allen, Patrick Beverley. My starting five is Ja Morant, LeBron James, Dame Lillard, Kawhi Leonard, and Zion Williamson. You got some honorable mentions for me, Benny?
Mate, we could have Boban up against Omos.
Boban, Omos, and Satnam Singh all in a triple threat match.
Obviously, Draymond Green, he would dominate. And then I had Josh Giddey just because of his Twitter response the other day.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was like, was talking about something about his, because he took his shirt off and he was sitting back and somebody wrote, "Chill, man, my nan's on here." And he wrote back, "Give him my number." I was like, that's cool. And who else did I have? Oh, I had Austin Rivers, only if Doc came, was like his mouthpiece.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, and then, that's about it.
I had, as long as he was just going to get his ass kicked by someone, Ben Simmons. Put him in a match against Lashley or something. That's fine with me. Joel Embiid, I almost took him as one of my picks.
Yeah, I had him on here, but
you know, he's done the crotch chops with Triple H before games, and he loves his wrestling too. Marcus Smart, I had on there as well because people love to hate Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
The Lopez brothers, obviously, from their Milwaukee little entrances they do with the title belts.
Well, that speaking of brothers, I almost put the Morris brothers on there as a tag team as well. That was another thought.
There you go. That would have been pretty cool. DeMarcus Cousins. Boogie does have an attitude. Anthony Davis was on the list. That's kind of probably about it for me.
So I had Joker on there as well, but I mean, he'd be clunky in the ring.
Yeah, he needs a mouthpiece as well. I mean, we've already got Gunto, you know what?
Yeah. Well, they could just form this big League of Nations.
There you go. It's never been done before. All right. That is it for this episode of the Three Count Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a few weeks. We're going to have a huge preview show coming up with WWE Clash at the Castle and AEW All Out on the same weekend.
Massive.
Benny, once again, thank you for your time.
Pleasure as always, Dylan.
And we'll see you next time on the Three Count Podcast.